Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm in for Joy Cardine this hour. As the holiday shopping season gets underway, parents are being warned to be on the lookout for unsafe toys. And those can always be a problem, of course. But this year, the problem could be a bit more pronounced, as parents may try to save some money. Alan Korn is our guest this hour. He is the Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide. According to its website, Safe Kids Worldwide is the first and only international nonprofit organization that is dedicated solely to preventing unintentional childhood injury. He's got some advice on how to shop safely for the holidays. What kind of questions do you have about toy safety? Do you worry about the quality of toys, whether they're right for your kids? And do you wonder about your own ability to figure out whether a toy is unsafe or not? Give us a call if you'd like to join in the discussion. Our number is toll-free, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can also drop us a line on email, and that address is talk@wpr.org. Alan Korn, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning, Gene. Happy to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you along. Let's start by talking a little bit about the extent of this issue. I was reading some statistics, and the number of deaths that are caused by unsafe toys, at least in the U.S., it doesn't seem to be that high, but the number of injuries, I have to say, that took me aback.
Yeah, it is. It's actually, there's so much attention on toys now, and there always have been, and especially since what happened last year with all the recalls in lead in toys. However, when it's all said and done, there aren't that many deaths associated with toy-related injuries. There are a lot of serious injuries that result from toy-related incidents, but the deaths are kind of low. The common theme for all of them is that every single one of them is preventable. So when you think of it in terms of kind of taking care of the special characteristic of kids and the special place they have in our hearts and homes, you know, that's when why Congress, why parents, why the Consumer Product Safety Commission, groups like ours spend so much time thinking and talking about toy safety.
Last year, as you mentioned, there was a lot of discussion about lead in toys, and that led, I think, to a lot of attention on this whole issue. And how does that help your work? I mean, there was just a story on our local news here in Wisconsin that it's actually led to a drop in recalls because of the attention that's being focused on it. Is that what you've seen?
There's no question that everybody is focused on toy safety, and not just focused on it. They're doing a lot of good things to make this toy buying season much different than the others in the past. Gene, starting the day after Thanksgiving, that Friday, between then and the evening of Christmas or the day before Christmas, almost 70% of all toy purchases of the year happen in that time spot. And all you have to do is, you know, head to a Toys R Us or Babies R Us or Target parking lot during that time period, see what's in people's carts, and you'll know that fact is probably, it's not only true, it may be even understated. They're so crowded, these stores. Even this year, I'm expecting that would be the case. So, the focus now is toy buying, toy season, and toy purchases, and we always want people to think about, you know, let's not always get the hot toy, that's fun, and the toys the kids want, but think a bit about safety before you do your toy selection. Last year, it started basically all with some lead in a Barbie doll or lead in a Thomas Tank Engine, and those are iconic toys. You know, they're kind of defined, you know, the Barbie doll kind of defines toy America. And once that kind of toy has a toxin in it, like it did, then everybody pays attention. It's a shame it took that to get the attention, but it did, and now people are reacting in the right way, we believe, and hope.
And when you think of a Barbie doll, I mean, the last thing I think of is an unsafe toy. I mean, it seems like one of those ones that it's going to be, you don't have to worry about it too much.
Right. I spend a lot of time, our organization is based here in Washington, D.C., which is where I'm talking from, and I spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill last year attending hearings and testifying in hearings as to the problem. And I have to say, I mean, I was a little surprised to hear that big toy companies like Mattel did not have the policing mechanism in their plants in China, and that's where the vast majority of toys are made, in order to check the quality and condition of the toys before they put them on their shelves, especially for a toy like we've been talking about, as iconic as Barbie. You really don't want to mess with that brand. But it did happen, and once it did, boy, we started looking at it, and we found, the federal government found, that there was much more lead in toys than we had thought, and that's when you started to see that spate of recalls. I mean, it just every morning I was getting up, and it was another toy being recalled. This year it's slower. This year it's better. And I think that's because, in fact, I know that's because manufacturers are paying better attention. Retailers are doing their own testing. They're not accepting questionable toys. The media has been all over this issue and will continue. And the federal government is policing the marketplace better. So those kind of things work together to make it a better season.
And we'll be continuing our discussion in just a few seconds here. We'll be taking a break. When we come back, we'll be continuing to discuss unsafe toys, what parents should be taking a look for as they head out to do their holiday shopping in the next couple of months, and some of the unsafe toys that are out there right now that might surprise you. If you'd like to call in, we've got some open lines. If you've got a question, 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. And don't forget, you can also email us as well. And that address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this hour here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine this hour. Coming up after 7, we'll be taking a look at the idea of a federal bailout for U.S. automakers. This hour, we're talking with Alan Korn. He is the Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide. And we're talking about the issue of unsafe toys. We'd like to find out what you think. If you had an experience with an unsafe toy, do you wonder what an unsafe toy might look like for your child? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Alan Korn, before the break, we were talking a little bit about recalls, and I'm interested in that process because, you know, when it happened last year, all of a sudden there were all sorts of things being recalled. Does this happen on a complaint basis? Are there, you know, toy inspectors out there actively looking for unsafe toys? How does that whole thing work?
Yes and yes, and a few other ways also. The agency that's in charge of recalls is the Consumer Product Safety Commission here in Washington, D.C. And one is they have toy, consumer product safety inspectors in the marketplace that pull toys off the shelves or even out of homes or out of a daycare center or a hospital playroom and test them for the regulations that apply to that particular toy, or just if they consider that toy an unreasonable risk to a consumer or children. They can do an in-depth investigation on that toy, and it can result in a recall. Another very important way that the CPSC finds out information about toys is from the consumer or your listeners themselves. When they find a toy that, this one doesn't seem right to me, or more importantly, if a child has had an injury or even a near incident, it's not a bad idea to report it to the CPSC. And you can do that right on their website, cpsc.gov. There's a nice big yellow box right on their homepage. You click onto that. It says report a dangerous product. It's a short little form. And then the CPSC triggers the CPSC, and they'll go look into the situation. If there's a cause for concern, if there's a pattern or practice or custom here of misuse or engineering problems with the toy, they'll look into it, and it could result in a recall.
Is this the kind of thing where we need more enforcement? You know, because it sounds like a lot of this relies on mom or dad walking through an aisle and looking at a toy and saying, gee, I don't know if that's the right thing. I mean, is there a way we could maybe get ahead of that, or should we be getting ahead of that?
There's no question. The CPSC is a very small agency with a huge jurisdiction. They have policing jurisdiction over 15,000 product categories, like, for instance, kitchen products. Now, I don't know about your kitchen, Gene. Mine's got 15,000 products in it itself. So, almost everything in your home is regulated and policed by the CPSC, and it's only an $80 million agency. Now, the good news is, and you guys just had a report just before we got on the phone together, about this new, what we believe is landmark legislation that's changed the way this agency works. One of the things that this legislation does is eventually gets it more money, which in turn means more staff, which in turn means more people in the marketplace looking at these products with an expert eye, so you don't have to rely on that gut feeling of the consumer. Still not a bad thing to act on, by the way, for you know, the listeners in Wisconsin. If you see something that's not right, it's a good idea to report it. But we're hoping to get those resources, and we will get those resources to this agency so it can meet its jurisdiction demands.
Let's bring some listeners into the discussion. If you'd like to join in, by the way, we have an open line for you at 800-642-1234. But let's head up to Brühl, and Ruth is with us. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. I have a comment/question about what you feel the parental involvement is in some of the toys that are recalled. I mean, do you feel that some of that responsibility should be back on the parents for being a little more conscientious about the kinds of toys they buy and for the appropriate age and mental ability of their children?
Absolutely, Ruth. Two things I'd say about that. One is that if a toy is dangerous, you, Ruth, do not have a responsibility to make that toy good for the marketplace. That's the manufacturer. We want proper design. We want proper manufacturing techniques. However, there's a couple things that the consumer can do. Number one is safe toy selection. You don't want to put small parts in the toys of young children under three. The other thing that you can do is, on the CPSC website, cpsc.gov, you can sign up for a recall alert. And it's right there in that same yellow box. You put in your email address. You can even target and specify which types of recall alerts you want to get, toys or, you know, aquatic products or whatever it is. There's a whole list there. And then you get the email the same time I do as an expert and professional in the risk area, and the media, and you can check your basement or your playroom or whatever for the toy, and you get it, every few days you'll get that toy recall. So you're absolutely right, there is a responsibility on the part of the parent, one at the toy selection, and then also to kind of, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, police your own playroom to make sure there's not dangerous products in there. Sign up for that recall alert, that'll get you halfway there.
And I have to say, though, thanks for the call, by the way, Ruth. Alan, when I was looking at some of the toys that do cause problems out there, I was surprised at, kind of how common they are. There are things like rubber balls, balloons, stuffed toys, things of that nature. Things that, you know, I imagine in the case of a toy room almost fade into the background. I mean, these are not things that leap out at you as being dangerous.
Right. In fact, The dangerous products out there, are recall products, obviously, but really the more ubiquitous or the more common are the little things. And here's two or three things that you want to be particularly concerned yourself with. One is small parts, and in particular balls, marbles, uninflated balloons, those latex balloons. Those are real dangers to small children who, under the age of three or three and under. I don't know, Gene, if you have children, I do. Mm-hmm. And when my son was 3-year-old, he put absolutely everything in his mouth, and I mean everything.
Sure.
So, you know, a small ball, a small part can be a choking hazard to a child. Another thing we always like to mention to consumers is, bikes are a big purchase during the... Everyone likes a bike under the Christmas tree. Well, remind yourself that when you buy that bike, get a helmet also. In fact, I think it's a law in Wisconsin that children have to wear a helmet when riding a bike. A bike helmet is not an accessory to a bike. It's a necessity with a bike. That's how you protect your kid from a head injury. So you're out there buying the toys and the bikes, and we want kids out there, scraping their knees, mm-hmm. and maybe even occasionally having a stitch or something like that. Those are badges of honor of childhood. But if you fall off your bike and hurt your head, you don't have a helmet on, boy, that's a lifetime injury or worse. So remember, when you buy the bike, get the bike helmet also.
One of the things I mentioned at the top of the hour was the fact that this year, there's no secret, the economy is in a bad way. People are going to be looking to try to save some money if they can. Is that, do you think, and imagine on the manufacturing side, there's been that same sort of a downward pressure to try to save money. Are there going to be more issues in the marketplace this year, do you think?
I, 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 I'm predicting. I mean, my wife would tell you I'm 0 for 60,000 in.
Well, that's not that bad, really.
What goes on? But I'm predicting that yes, we're going to have a good better toy buying season. There's going to be issues out there. There always are. That's why we have to be vigilant. You just can't throw caution to the wind. You know, generally, the larger toy manufacturers keep their quality assurance up. Of course, we saw last year that even that can fall. This year, I'm expecting and hoping and hearing and even seeing to some extent that they're doing a lot more. They're policing the marketplace better with the help of the government and groups like ours. But something's going to happen. It always does. And that's why it's important that the Wisconsin consumer be aware of it when it does. That's why I love signing up for those recall alerts. I'd say this, be careful what you ask for. You may get it. If you sign up for all these recall alerts, you're going to get a recall alert notice about every 2 days, depending on how many products you sign up for. But it's a good thing. It comes with a nice picture, and you can check if your coffee maker's on the list or there's a particular toy. And I expect they'll continue to happen, just at a lower rate.
One of the questions I also have is, the whole issue of price. Is that an indicator that, if I pay a lot for something, am I guaranteed a safe toy?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a tough one because, my son, baseball cards aren't that expensive. And he likes his Pokemon cards, and those are completely and absolutely safe. A more expensive toy, there's a fancy doll, it can be run $60, $70 and have a recall. So it's not necessarily the cost of the item. I'll tell you what is an interest. I would personally avoid buying toys at certain locations, secondhand shops, garage sales, those type of things. Now, that's something, people are going to be trying to save money this year, so they're going to head to those things. Mm-hmm. That's great for clothes and for, maybe a piece of furniture or something like that. But when it comes to toys, I personally would avoid doing your shopping there. I would head to a reputable retailer, which does not necessarily mean the big box Toys R Us and Targets, although those are fine places to buy toys, but your local mom-and-pop retail store is also nice. We have found that often, either intentionally or unintentionally, people might send their recalled toys to garage sales or consignment shops or secondhand stores, get them out of their house instead of throw them away, and all you're doing is keeping that dangerous product back in the marketplace. And sometimes they're so old and they were maintained poorly or just use and abuse, natural use and abuse. The toys that were safe have become dangerous. I'd avoid that type of purchase this year and beyond.
Lots to think about. We're talking with Alan Korn. He is the Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide. And we are talking about the issue this hour of unsafe toys and what you need to look out for during this holiday season. We'll be taking a break for news. When we return, we'll be taking your calls, 800-642-1234, if you have an experience that you'd like to share or a question that you'd like to ask of our guest. Let us know, 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 25 minutes before 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm in for Joy Cardine this hour. This hour, we are talking about the issue of unsafe toys in the marketplace. Things you need to look out for during this holiday season. If you'd like to become part of the discussion, you can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And don't forget, if you can't get to the phone, you can always use email. Our address is talk@wpr.org. Do you have concerns about unsafe toys in the marketplace? Have you had an experience with an unsafe toy that you would like to share with our listeners? Our guest this hour is Alan Korn, the Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide. And we've been talking about the issue for the past half hour or so, and talking quite a bit, actually, about the whole idea of recalls and how those work. And I want to know real quickly, Alan Korn, do recalls work if, say, I purchased a toy a month or 2 months ago, and I find out that it's subject to a recall of a sudden? First of all, I have to take that toy out of service, I guess. But then secondly, do I get any money back for it? Is there any relief for me?
There is. Usually there is. But Gene, the recall rates are really low. We're really good about getting the recall products off the retail shelves. That's something we seem to have mastered. What we can't do as easily is, once the recall's been announced, get them out of people's homes and daycares and the child care centers and grandma and grandpa's home. Mm-hmm. In fact, I venture to say, I don't know if you have children, Gene, but if I went to your house, I most definitely could find recall products in your home. And that's because it's just not as publicized as it should be. Each recall has to come with what's called the three R's, a repair, a refund, or I'm forgetting what the last R is, but there's always some mechanism by which the consumer can get redress for the dangerous toy. And, you can get a repair or a refund or some other action to make yourself whole again.
Do you have, and I think this might be becoming a larger issue as more people shop online, do you have any tips for folks who are shopping online? We had an email from Jane in Milwaukee who wonders about buying a toy online, whether they're used or new. Obviously, you're not always going to be able to handle the toy, and I think that might make that a whole different scenario.
Right. Well, a lot of the toys aren't they're cheap or inexpensive, and, over the course of a couple of play lives through two kids, to see them online, you can bet they've been used and abused and may not be in the condition to buy the toy. I guess it's one thing for blocks or puzzle pieces or something like that, where you can, pretty much tell online whether or not it's good condition. But something more complicated, I think you might want to avoid that situation just because you don't know the condition of the toy. Of course, with a lot of these auction houses, you can always get return a toy, which is good, but that's kind of a pain, too. And then, of course, you don't know, at least immediately, whether or not it's recalled. In fact, there was just an announcement yesterday by the federal government that they're going to be watching these auction sites or bidding sites, because they are finding recalled dangerous toys on there. So before you do that, you can do it, but before you do it, kind of maybe also have open up on your computer there that recall page of the CPSC or on our recall page at Safe Kids, and kind of say, hey, I'd like to buy this doll, but let me just click over here real quick, see if it's been recalled, and I think that'll help you get a long way towards a safer purchase.
But those recall regulations, they also apply to online. I didn't realize that. I just had a vision of things in stores, and it never occurred to me that somebody would be taking a look at what's happening online, too.
Oh, yeah. It's the new economy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It used to be all bricks and mortar. But not only that, but there's labeling that's required on toy packaging, in particular as it relates to small parts, so that a parent of a two-year-old can see front display on the package that this toy is not for children under three because it's got small parts. Well, what do you do about buying something off ToysRUs.com or some online retailer? This new law that we talked about earlier, Gene, requires the online retailer, to post that warning next to the toy when you sell it, even in the electronic medium. So, again, the consumer can be educated at point of purchase before and decide whether or not this toy is appropriate. So, like in so many ways, the electronic commerce has changed the way we think and behave. And, the government's a little bit behind the schedule, which is usually the case, but they caught up with this new law that they passed earlier this year.
But I think it is safe to say, at least going back to my childhood in the 1960s and 70s, that it's better than it was. I mean, I think about some of the toys I was playing with, and, to say that they're dangerous weapons is sort of an understatement now.
Oh, there's been so many toys that have been banned and recalled over the years. I mean, if you grew up in the 60s and 70s, you're the same age as I am. I'm 44. I tell you, I never, ever, ever remember wearing a bike helmet when riding a bike. Didn't happen. In fact, you know.
I don't think we had them.
I don't think they
in our defense.
Either.
I don't think they existed.
You know, now there's 22 states in the country that have bicycle helmet laws for children. I mean, that's happened over since you and I grew up. Here's another thing, and very important. Where all this talk, and we'll spend the hour talking about toy safety. The media is going to be, you know, all over this issue for the next couple of months while we get through toy buying season. When, as you said in the introduction to the piece, there's not that many children that are dying from toy-related incidences. That doesn't mean we're not concerned about them. We want to get out there and prevent them. But the most dangerous thing we do with our children every single day, no question, top of the list, is put them in a car. So on your way to a Toys R Us or on your way to the Target or Kmart or your local toy store, buckle them up appropriately. In the child safety seat, infant seat for the youngest, the booster seat for the oldest, seat belt for those, you know, between the ages of approximately 8 to adulthood, through adulthood. That's really a concern out there. That's far more dangerous than the toys in the marketplace. So it's a good thing. And that relates to the fact I never wore a seat belt when I was young. Mm-hmm. I never was in a car seat. I used to stand up in the front seat of my dad's a convertible. Used to be a fight with my brothers to see who could do it. That's changed. We're thinking a lot better about it. Parents are much more focused on the safety of their children, much more educated, and that's a wonderful change that's happened since you and I grew up. It's a wonder we're talking today to each other.
What about it is actually in a lot of ways, if you only knew. One of the things it brings up, though, is that's a generation gap sort of thing, because I remember my grandmother had all of my dad's old toys, and that's what we would play with. And I think those were painted on with thick coatings of lead, you know, and other sorts of things like that. Does that sort of attitude, you know, my parents from the 60s, your parents from the 60s, do they have all your old toys around, and do they say, you know, these were good enough for Gene and for Alan, they're good enough for my grandkids, too? I mean, does that attitude get in the way of the message that you're trying to get out?
Absolutely. We call them heirloom toys or heirloom products. And I tell you what the biggest danger is. There's something special about a crib where, you know, this is the crib that Gene and Alan slept in. Here you go, son. Use it for my grandbaby. You do not want to do that. The same way you want to be cautious about buying a toy at a secondhand shop, I would say do not buy cribs or sleep environments at all at secondhand shops, because these heirloom cribs that, you know, were used during the 60s and 70s, even 80s, even mm-hmm. through the 90s, don't meet federal standards, are much more dangerous, have slats that are loose, are too wide, they have finials that are on the baseboard and footboards of the cribs. You want to stay away from them. The reason why I emphasize that, first, is that cribs are going to be bought during the holiday season. Number two, you want to pass them down. And the concept here is, if you think about it, there's only one place where a child spends so much time unattended without adult supervision. That's the crib. In fact, we all celebrate when our infants get 8 hours of sleep in a night without having to check on them. If there's any environment that needs to be safe for children, the crib is that environment. So we want to make sure we buy cribs, probably new, and if not new, you're borrowing a crib that is fairly new, so you know that it meets federal standards.
Boy, I have to say, there's a lot to think about, and it is kind of amazing when you start listing off these, whether it's a crib or a toy, Alan. It is amazing, I think, in some regards, that we did survive. Alan Korn is our guest this hour, Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide. We've been talking about toy safety for the past 45 minutes or so. We'd like to find out what you think about this. 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. You can call, join in the discussion, ask a question, or tell us about something that may have happened to you or to your child. Email works, too. You can get a hold of us that way. And that address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine this morning. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking about federal bailout for U.S. automakers. My guest says it wouldn't be so bad if the Big Three turned into the Big Two. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. For the rest of this hour, we're going to be continuing our discussion on toy safety and safety for kids in general. Alan Korn is our guest this hour. He is the Director of Public Policy for Safe Kids Worldwide, and we have been talking about the issues surrounding toy safety, particularly in light of this holiday season, as parents get said to head out to the stores and buy presents for either their kids or their grandkids. And Alan Korn, we've been talking about some of the most unsafe toys out there right now, which is, you know, a little on the ominous side, I imagine, for a lot of parents. If there's a safe standby, I mean, there have to be some good suggestions out there where it's very difficult to go wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, we spend so much time talking about the dangerous toys, recalls, and so forth. I mean, everybody, I think, and I do too, take a deep breath. Get out there. Buy your toy gifts. I don't want people to be handcuffed here about getting out and enjoying the toys, and there's so many great selections out there. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's America's offer to children is almost obscene as to all the choices and neat things that you can put under the tree, and we want you out there doing that. Let's enjoy the holidays. Certainly the economy will benefit by that, too. It's a matter of personal preference. I mean, if you're asking me, I love board games. I mean, the toy company Hasbro a few years ago had a marketing campaign called Game Night. It was Tuesday nights, I think, and they ran commercials, and turn off the computer, turn off the television, sit at the dining room table, and put out a board game. And there's tons of choices out there. Those are nice. I think that's a great way to kind of get together. And you know, board games are always very, very safe. And always for the younger kids, building blocks, the puzzles are great. My son likes books, thankfully. Those are all wonderful gifts. It's a matter of personal preference, I think. I don't think you can think about one toy being safer than the other. Whatever your children want to do, as long as you just keep good toy selection in mind, age appropriateness, and stay up on the recalls as they happen, you can have yourself a great holiday season.
And even with the games, though, I mean, Monopoly, you've got those little houses, and a child could easily swallow one of those.
Yeah, those are that's a perfect example of a small part. One of the things storage of toys. There's, you know, toy safety is really divided up into, you know, like six or seven different tips. There's toy selection. There's supervising your children as they're playing with the toy. One of the things we like to say is interaction. There's no better safe behavior than just to get down on the floor with your child and play with them. And then, as to your point, is storage. And that's storing toys properly, especially when you've got children of different ages. An 8-year-old, a 10-year-old loves to play Monopoly. A Monopoly house in the hands of a 2-year-old goes right into the mouth.
Sure.
And it's tough to stay up on top of these things. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, but it's worth, if you just keep it in mind, you're done with the game, put the toy away, make sure all the houses have been picked up or other small parts and back into the closet or toy chest. And that's what you want to do to kind of think about these kind of things.
You know, you mentioned the whole idea of computer games and so forth, and I don't know if we want to get into the philosophy of whether they're good for you or not. But in terms of safety, there again, you've got electronic parts sort of interacting with other electronic parts. Are there issues with games like that parents need to be thinking about as well?
Yeah, well, the CPSC, we participated in a press conference yesterday with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. They kind of mentioned their top concerns this year, and one of is recharging of computer games and handheld devices and all the electronics out there. I mean, if you buy a cheap charger, there's burn injuries that can happen, electrocutions that can happen, so you do kind of want to watch that type of thing. So this kind of transition of the type of toys in the marketplace end up with new hazards out there. And we have to, number one, design these products better so they don't have the problem. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's something called passive prevention. You know, isn't it a shame that I've got to say, we're saying to your listeners that, sign up and get a recall notice so you can check whether or not the dangerous product's in your home. Now, do that. That's a good thing to do. But isn't it better to have passive prevention? Let's design the products in the first place so that they're not a hazard. You don't have to worry about it. We can all go to the marketplace with complete confidence that everything's going to be safe. Now, I believe you can go to the marketplace with fairly good confidence, but the numbers suggest, you know, that it's not we're having Armageddon out Armageddon out there with toy injuries and deaths. But they do happen, so you have to stay vigilant on your side of the coin. And then the other thing is just be a relative. It's a relative thing. Remember that that you know motor vehicle crashes are the number one killer of kids. Bike crashes, you know, without a helmet. That's how children die in this country. So kind of think about those things as you're worried about your Barbie doll or your Monopoly game set, which don't result in that much concern.
We talked earlier a bit about parental responsibility. Do you think that it's a good idea for us to constantly supervise kids when they're playing with toys? I mean, is there ever an opportunity for kids to be alone?
You know, you got to be practical about this. I mean, you can't wrap kids in bubble paper. I mean, that's not what we're suggesting. You know, they're going to be out there in the playground. There are certain environments in which it is an absolute non-negotiable. The one that comes to mind, not a topic right now, but it will be in Wisconsin, you know, in a few months, and that is when kids are in water. I mean, either the lakes of Wisconsin or the swimming pools of Wisconsin, if your child is in the water, they have to be actively adult supervised at all times. No exceptions. Bottom line, They're on the floor playing Monopoly in the other room. Hey, that's great. They're learning from each other. They've got their friends over. You don't have to be standing over them. We don't want to do it. They're out riding their bikes. You want to teach good behaviors. You want to make sure that the bike helmet is worn. My son gets on his bike. He doesn't even remember putting on his bike helmet. I don't know how you got to work today. I'm going to get to work by way of car. I will pull into the garage today and not even remember putting on my seatbelt. Well, that's what you want with your children. Anytime they get on the bike, my son just puts on his bike helmet. That's the end of the story. He doesn't even remember doing it. If you start that pattern for life, that custom of doing the right things, the smart things, safety, then off they go. They're riding in the neighborhood. That's what you want. They may come in with a scraped knee. That's great. Badge of honor. But head injuries, those are the things you want to avoid. So you can't stay on top of your kids all the time, except in those certain environments.
Yeah, water. And in Wisconsin, for the next couple of months, they'll be on top of water, which is a whole, you know, whole other issue.
Right, right.
Because ice does cause problems. If kids are outside, you talk about playgrounds. The playground equipment, I know, used to be a lot more dangerous. Are there safety issues that still exist there?
Yeah, there are. Some of the older playgrounds have some dangerous equipment on it. But the most, probably the biggest risk associated with playgrounds is the surfacing that's under the playgrounds. You want a good soft surface, and so that you know they're going to fall off the jungle gym. They're going to fall off the monkey bars. They're going to come down the slides too fast. That's fun. That's thrilling. That's what the kids should be doing.
Kids are going to be kids.
Yeah, running around and exercising and so forth. But you, if you think about that passive prevention, make sure the equipment that you're using is up to date and meets standards. And as playgrounds are converted, they're doing that. But at the very least, make sure that the soft bedding or the soft, what word would you have for, the mulch, the pea gravel, the tire shreds on the playground has got that cushion for when there is a fall. And that's a good little tip for people to kind of look at their own playgrounds. And even, municipality playgrounds, if you're a listener out there, you see one, make a demand on your municipality to get this thing up to code. At the very least, get some more sand or more mulch down so that the injuries are prevented in the first place.
Do you think we're ever going to reach a point when there are no injuries? I mean, it does seem at some level kids will be kids, and no matter what you do, kids are going to get hurt.
You know, over the past 20 years, the injury death rate in this country has gone down by 45%. And that's quite a public health success. Maybe it's more a comment on how you and I behave when we were little than the efforts of groups like Safe Kids. But the injury death rate has gone down quite a bit, and it is a miraculous thing. That translates to about 35,000 kids saved or who are alive today, but for these prevention issues and prevention concepts. But they're never going to go away. There's always something new, right? You know, right now it's ATVs. That's a big issue, probably there in Wisconsin.
Oh, yes.
In 10 years from now, it's going to be self-propelled flying machines.
Really? Can I get one of those?
Yeah, well, I think if you head over to Toys R Us, I think they're $19.99 now. At some point in time, kids are going to be flying in the air. So there's always going to be new risks. There's always going to be new products on the marketplace. And, of course, new products, new risks. kids taking more and more chances as they get comfortable with their environments over time and over generations, they're going to result in injuries. So there's no way we're going to prevent them all. But we can make the effort, and it's a worthy effort, because if a child, you know, Christmas morning cannot end up in an emergency room, or worse yet, a coffin. I mean, that's kind of morbid, but that's what we're talking about here. So just think about these prevention tips on the front end. You're doing a lot to protect your children.
Well, Alan Korn, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Gene.
Appreciate your time. Alan Korn has been with us for the past hour or so. He is the director of public policy for Safe Kids Worldwide, and they bill themselves on their website as the first nonprofit organization dedicated solely to preventing unintentional childhood injury. And we've been talking about the whole issue surrounding unsafe toys. And don't forget, if you want to sign up for those recall alerts, check out the website at the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and you'll get all the information you need right there. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444. The program was produced this morning by Rob Ferret, and we had on-air production by Bill Martins. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in this morning, this hour anyway, for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio's website is a great place to give us your thoughts. Visit WPR.org and click on Listener Feedback to send your comments about this program and anything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Leave your comments anytime at WPR.org.
Could cholesterol-lowering statins benefit people with healthy cholesterol levels? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on the next Science Friday to discuss the pros and cons of new research that suggests it can, plus actually seeing new exoplanets and the secret of how household bleach